Thank you, Jono. It's great to be here. Good morning. My name's Andy. I'm a member of the staff team here. I'm also recently started training for ordination. Let me just move this. The church is looking a bit bare with this big space where the tree was last weekend. Hopefully we'll be able to fill it with God's presence. It's one of those mornings where in Scotland we called it, it's a smur, where it's you can't actually see the rain, but after about walking for about 5 or 10 minutes, you're just soaked. So if you're visiting us here today, you're especially welcome. We're starting a new series on the book of Daniel. So that's great. You haven't missed anything. So who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Are you confident in who you are? Because Daniel knew who he was. He knew he belonged to God. Even when exiled to foreign land, separated from his family, from his spiritual input, indoctrinated into a culture which conflicted with his own values, stripped of his identity, he remained secure in who he was, so he could stand firm and then find favor in that land. And I want to share this morning how we, despite all the pressures from our own culture, can be secure in our identity and find favor as Christians. So let's just pray as we begin. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we find ourselves in ever greater conflict with the values of our culture around us, to receive our true identity from you, so we can be a light, a clear witness in the darkness. Come, Holy Spirit, use these words today to reveal yourself to everyone, so we can leave here changed by encountering your presence. Amen. I want to share a picture with you. It's of a fast-flowing river, because our culture is a bit like that river. It's fast-flowing. It's moving at a pace. And now, going with the flow can be quite fun and exhilarating. I experienced this quite literally while at Adventure Plus, going down a river several times upside down in a kayak. But when you're in this river of our culture, and you try going against the flow, or even just staying still, it's hard work. Have you ever tried swimming against even a gentle current or tide? You can do it for a short while, but after a few minutes, it's just too hard. It's too much. We can't sustain it. So I want you to picture now in that river, that fast-flowing river, in the middle of the river, a rock or a small island. And then the relief, if you make it to that rock and you stand up on it. Relief from the pressure of the current. Now, when we're secure in our identity as children of God, citizens not just of this society, but of God's kingdom, then we can stand on that rock of Jesus. So if you can just hold that picture of that river in your mind as we look at Daniel again and the context of this passage. So King Nebuchadnezzar has invaded Judah. He's captured Jerusalem. He's taken thousands of the people and the treasures of the temple back to Babylon. And Daniel and his three friends are swept away by this like flash flood, taken to foreign land. And then they're selected, sort of plucked out as the brightest young adults, to be trained up for 3 years to serve at the king's palace. Now, this is a carefully organized strategy of the Babylonians to recondition people into their own culture. Daniel and his friends are completely isolated from their people and their faith. They're indoctrinated into this language and culture of Babylon. Even their names are changed. Now, what's the relevance of their names being changed? Well, names are a big part of our identity. Heather and I, my wife and I, adopted a child last summer. And one of the most important things was retaining that child's name, because it's a huge part of their identity when so much else in their life is changing. And the Babylonians understood this, and especially for the Jews of the time, because they often incorporated a shortened form of the Hebrew word for God, El, E-L. It's at the end of Daniel. And similarly, Iah, I-A-H, which means the Lord, at the end of Hananiah, and the other names as well. So stripping their names away and giving their names, new names, referring to Babylonian gods, is Nebuchadnezzar's deliberate attempt to take away their identity and transfer their allegiance to Judah's God, from Judah's God to the Babylonian gods. So he also does this by enticing them with wonderful food from the king's table. It's a bit like being offered a raft in the river, guaranteeing that they won't be able to touch the bottom with their feet. But it's at this point that Daniel and his friends refuse the good food and wine from the king's table. Now, that might be either because it was forbidden by Jewish law, or perhaps not wanting to be beholden to the king. And they asked instead to live on a diet of vegetables. Now, just as an aside, I was starting to see a slight analogy with my own life of kind of coming away from Scotland and marrying a vegetarian wife, and now studying this foreign language of theology for the next 3 years. It's all a bit uncanny. Anyway, back to Daniel and refusing to eat the choice food and wine. They're taking a stand against the culture. Now, this is far more than a sort of dietary preference. As we see from the guard, he fears for his life, and Daniel's life is probably at stake as well. But he's willing to risk this because he knows who he is. He knows who he is. He can go against the flow because he is clear about his identity. He is on that rock. So what's the result? Well, God supports their faithfulness. They find favor with the guard. And then in verse 15, we read that their health is even better than all the others. And then I love the irony of the next bit. In verse 17, we read that it is God that gives them the great wisdom and knowledge in this school of learning that the Babylonians have recruited them into. God gives them that learning and knowledge. And we'll see in the coming weeks as we go through this series that this is just the start of Daniel's willingness to stand up against the pressure from this culture, and how God uses Daniel and the position that he puts him in to do the miraculous. So what about us in our culture? What are the pressures, the river and the currents flowing against us? We don't have time to go into these, but just to list a few. The relentlessness in our culture of self-promotion. Look at me standing by this beautiful building, putting it on Facebook. The sexualization of our society. The idolization of choice, where my choice trumps every moral or social obligation. The decline of the sacredness of life. The lie that material prosperity will bring us happiness. It's all around us. But one of the greatest pressures is on our identity, who we are. The world says we are what we do. So if you don't have a job, or if you choose to stay at home and care for your children, we really are swimming against the current. What we do is about how fast we are moving down this river in our culture. So before becoming a Christian, I bought into this culture wholeheartedly. After university, when applying for jobs, I remember being enticed, a bit like Daniel and his colleagues, with choice food and wine by a management consultancy. Their tactic was to just entice poor students by entertaining them in five-star hotels. It was lovely. And then at my interview, I remember the partner very clearly saying, "Now, Andy, I see you have lots of extracurricular activities on your CV here. And I need to make it very clear that these will come secondary to your work here when you join us." It was like a scene out of John Grisham's The Firm. The whole process was challenging me about what I based my identity on. But of course, at that stage, not having an identity in God, I had no qualms about putting my career first in my life. So I just jumped right into that river and swam as fast as I could downstream. But I always sensed I was lost. I didn't know who I really was. And so it was only when I discovered God and I stood up on that rock that I could finally stop trying to be the person I wanted to be and accept the person that God had made me to be. Matthew 5, verse 5 in the Message version says, "You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less." And that is my ongoing daily struggle. So who do you think you are? Who does God say you are? If we're clear about this, then we have a rock that we can stand on. Like Daniel, we can stand against the pressure of our culture and be a witness in our workplace, in our community, amongst friends and family and neighbours. So wherever we are today, wherever we're going with the flow, whether that's going with the flow down the river, or perhaps we're feeling like we're drowning in a set of rapids, let's be aware of and wise to the culture that we're in. Be aware of what the pressures are, what is pushing us and the direction it's pushing us in. And let's get to that place of security, onto the rock on a daily basis if necessary, so we can stand firm, confident in our identity, knowing that we are sons and daughters of the living God. I want to just give us an opportunity for God to speak to us each now. So first of all, if you can think of an area of your life where we need reminding of who God says we are, not what we think, not what others have said, but who God says we are. And let's just come before God now in prayer and ask him to show us an area of our life where we need reminding of who God says we are. So let's just pray. There might be an area where our identity has taken a bit of a dent or a bashing. An area where we need to get onto that rock in the river. Show us, Lord Jesus, what those areas are. And what I'm going to do now is just ask each of you, just for 30 seconds or a minute, just with the person beside you or nearby, if there's pairs or if there's somebody on their own, just in threes, just to spend a moment, just to ask God to bless that person in that area. So just if you could now, just look at the person beside you, just acknowledge who you're going to be praying for, and then just, I'll just lead us in a moment where we're just going to pray for each other. Just ask God to bless what he is showing to that person. You don't need to share what it is, the area. You're just going to ask for God to bless that person and to give them that courage and strength at this time. So let's just pray now. You can pray out loud or in your heart, it doesn't matter. God hears us either way. Let's just pray.